Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
No matter where you come from, no matter what you look like or who you love, it is our unfinished task to make sure that this government works on behalf of the many and not just the few. We will ensure equal treatment for all service members and equal benefits for their families, gay and straight.
That's President Barack Obama. A few comments that are made with reference to homosexuality and maybe to same-sex marriage as well. In his State of the Union address earlier this week, he has been quite bold. He talks about it. And in the laundry list of things that a president must address, President Obama felt it was necessary to address the issue of homosexuality several times in his State of the Union address. Joining us to talk about this and answer the question, why is there such a fast-forward push now, state by state, to get same-sex marriage in law one way or the other? Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hey, Todd.
You could have easily missed the president's references to gay issues in his State of the Union, but he definitely intended to include them. What is your reaction to the president's statements there?
Well, what he's doing is in a very subtle and, I think, calculated way, normalizing a homosexual practice and same-sex so-called marriage. He's normalizing them by slipping them into a laundry list of groups that are already familiar and already safe to talk about in some way. He's deliberately moving to remove the sting or any remaining, should there be any remaining lingering stigma, he's working to remove that and to sneak that in as part of his agenda.
One thing I did notice, and I can't say that the president has never done it, but he didn't do it when he made these references in his State of the Union address. Usually, if you want to be completely politically correct, you won't just talk about gay or straight. You'll talk about lesbian, bisexual, transgendered. There are a couple others that get added in as well. But the president isn't using that. He's just kind of contrasting gay and straight. Is that not yet mainstream enough for the State of the Union?
Boy, I don't know what to say about that, Todd. I guess the one reference to the military was about gay and straight. And the earlier reference was about, I think he said, no matter whom you love. Isn't that what he said? Something along those lines. So that one didn't have a label on it, right? But it was a clear look over the shoulder to people who are not heterosexual. So I guess the whole alphabet list of groups could be included under that one. I really don't know what he was thinking about. I think gay or straight is a pretty good contrast set. And I think that's the easiest thing to do for the rhetoric of what he was doing in that particular passage. I think that worked the best for him there. I doubt that there's anything deeper than that. But I could be wrong, right? These guys think ahead quite a few plays a lot of times.
Is there an argument implicit in the statement, no matter who you love? Is there something being assumed there that the president wants people to accept?
Well, yeah, it's making it sound like no matter who you love is somehow a trait attached to you as a person. So whatever your race or whatever where you're from, those are things that are kind of intrinsic to you or that you can't change. But who you love is absolutely under your control, right? I mean, I love my sister, I love my best friend, I love my mother. It's a statement that is so deliberately vague in a way that it's certainly code for non-heterosexual, non-heteronormative relationships. That's certainly there. But he never has to come right out and say, whoever you love includes, he never has to be too specific about what he means about that. He just knows everybody's thinking that. But if you really analyze that, no matter who you love, well, does he mean to include incestuous partners? Does he mean to include polygamists? Who is excluded from that list? You know, I wish I could say that he opened himself to a problem, but our side doesn't ever seem to be clever enough to exploit openings, if it indeed is an opening. So it's a very interesting turn of phrase that he chose there.
What I heard there, Jen, was kind of an implicit argument that the same-sex marriage issue, which everyone knows this is all coded for same-sex marriage.
Right, of course.
That marriage is, in essence, an issue of who you love. Is that true?
Right. You know, that's the big lie about the whole thing, that marriage is... See, there's a soulmate view of marriage, you know, which is that when you get married, what it's really about is you finding the right person for you who's going to make your heart sing, and you're going to be soulmates, and you're going to fulfill one another, and therefore that's your path to happiness. Now, I think most adult straight people at least know, and actually most adult gay people know this, that that's really not what it's all about, that there's much more to marriage than that. And from a public standpoint, there's certainly much more to marriage about that. The public shouldn't give a darn one way or the other whether you find your soulmate. You know, that's none of the public's business. But the movement for redefining marriage has already, in a sense, given momentum to redefining marriage to become something that's about adults finding their soulmate versus something that adults do to protect the interests of children. So instead of it being a child-centered institution, something that protects the interests of children, marriage is becoming an adult-centered institution that satisfies and gratifies adults. And so, you know, honestly, the movement to redefine marriage has lived off of that image of marriage and is, in fact, accelerating that movement and further entrenching and institutionalizing that view, a view that I think is false, and I think most of your listeners probably realize is, you know, that doesn't last you 2 weeks into marriage to think of it that way, or to think of it exclusively that way.
What are the hotspot states right now on the issue of same-sex marriage?
Oh, my goodness. There's something going on in Illinois. I guess you know that because you've got guys in the you're in the neighborhood. You guys are actually in Illinois, so you probably know what's going on in Illinois. I think they just voted on it in one of their houses today. They passed a genderless marriage bill in Illinois. And in Minnesota, it seems to me there was a vote going on today in one of the houses, which is symbolic. They deliberately picked out Valentine's Day to do that on. And then... there's activity in Rhode Island for sure, and I'm not sure, although there's nothing pending this minute that I know of, but yeah, today, Valentine's Day, two different states, I'm pretty sure, took votes on the thing.
Okay, you mentioned the date today, Valentine's Day, but it's more than just a symbolic date. There's an urgency here. There appears to be an attempt to get this thing under some wire. What's the wire?
Well, you know, in one sense of the word, you could say, well, it's all political because they've got this momentum of having won these elections, and they've got the momentum of the president's support. They've got all of that wind at their back, so now's the time to strike. And I think that's true. I think there's a lot to that. But I also think the other thing you have to know, Todd, is that it's starting now to creep out. Evidence is starting to creep out that the kids really aren't all right. That the children who grow up in same-sex households with same-sex parents in the household, it is simply not true that there's no difference between those kids and everybody else. There are problems that are showing up in the data. We've talked about the big study from UT Austin by Mark Regnerus. That data is out there and is completely obliterating these decades of junk science that the other side has been producing to say, oh, the kids are fine. The other thing that's starting to happen is that adults who were raised in same-sex households are starting to tell their own stories, are starting to speak out, and are starting to say, look, this was a difficult experience, and I cannot be silent. I cannot sit here and say nothing when I know from my own experience that you're putting children at risk for something that's going to be very traumatic and difficult for them. So in Minnesota, I'm pretty sure this guy... Dr. Robert Oscar Lopez, spoke in Minnesota, because I found a text of his speech on his website, and I've got it posted over at the Ruth Institute Facebook page. People can go look at it. This is a guy who's, whose parents split up, and his mom got together with another woman, and so he grew up in a household with his mom living with a, well, they didn't live in the same household, it was a little bit complicated, but his father was out of his life, and his mother was primarily identified as lesbian. And he talks about what that life was like, and how difficult it was to have no father, and to not know where your father was, you know. There is an article from a man in France. There's a lot of stuff coming out of France now, Todd, as you probably know. They had that million people march over there. People over there are starting to speak out. 66-year-old man wrote about his parents divorcing when he was small and his mom moving in with a female lover. And he says, I experienced the loss of my father as an amputation. As an amputation. Being without a father was like an amputation. And so he, too, is speaking out and saying, you know, I cannot stand by quietly while we deliberately turn children over to a household where we know that they're going to be traumatized in this way. And these are not people, by the way, talking about being sexually exploited by their parents or all these other bugbears that people talk about. As far as I can tell, that's not what's going on. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about the structural loss of the father and the structural loss of not having that relationship. It's not just a role model. It's not like you stand up a doll and it's a male doll and that's good enough. It's the whole relationship with the father that is so traumatic. Especially, I guess maybe especially to boys. But the point of all of that is
with about 20 seconds here.
If this information comes out that the kids aren't all right, the gay lobby will not be able to succeed in institutionalizing gay marriage unless they can get it done before the public finds all this out. And I think that's what the purpose of the rush.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse and Other Issues, Etc., regular guests, Dr. Robert Gagnon, Bill Duncan, and Scott Yanor are going to be speaking at It Takes a Family to Raise a Village Conference, May the 30th through June the 2nd in San Diego. And you can check out this conference and all the information you need under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back in hour 2 of Issues Etc., we're going to spend that entire hour talking about, well, I wouldn't call him the second most important. He is among the most important figures of the 16th century Reformation, Philip Melanchthon, a companion and a colleague of Martin Luther, and one of the principles of the Reformation. That's in the next hour on Issues Etc. with Dr. Ken Scher.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois. 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.